This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Most twin parents would agree that one of the biggest challenges is to get their twosome on a regular sleeping routine, and the same routine. I'm Jen Varela of Sugar Night Night, and I'm here to share some tips on getting your newborn twins to sleep so you can sleep. This is Twin Talks, episode number 10.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two. Well, welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. And Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. And I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. And have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. And you can subscribe to our monthly Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. And another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app, available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. Before we get started here, let's just do a quick introduction. We have panelists talk about our, you know, families and how we're connected to twins.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I'm Sunny. I'm filling in as producer today. Shelley isn't here right now. So tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm a mom of two little boys already. Sayer is about 3 years old and Urban is 18 months old. And I'm pregnant with identical twin girls who are due in about a month. So while I don't have a lot of sleep tips to offer new parents of twins yet, I will be taking notes on today's episode so I can use them within the next month or so.
And you'll be stocking up on your sleep beforehand. Yeah.
Yes, trying to.
And as your host, I've got identical twin girls, Julia Alexa, who just turned 4. And then I also have a singleton girl, Michaela, and she just turned 1. So we've got 3 girls in the house. My husband always says, okay, he needs a dog with cojones.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Before we start today's show, let's take a look at an app that is great for parents and for twin parents. And since we're talking about sleep today, the app we're looking at is called Sleepy Sounds, and it's found in the iTunes marketplace as well as Google Play. It offers lullabies, white noise, nature sounds, and you can also record your own or stream your own music to help your baby sleep. And let's see here. We'll just put a little sample on here so you can hear that. So that's here's the lullaby version. So it's, you know, pretty mellow. And I should add that our, the screen of the phone while it's playing, it's got these nice sort of pictures and stars that something that you would maybe see, you know, some of those different things that project on the ceiling. So as far as apps go, and I'll bring Jen in on this, mm-hmm. what do you think about something like this?
I think white noise can be terrific. I think it's important what kind of white noise you use. Mm-hmm. So the low tones, even Dr. Harvey Karp has talked about how you don't want the high-pitched sounds because the low tones is what helps regulate your brain to take away that chatter, if you will. It's even been helpful with postpartum depression moms. So I would probably be more inclined to take a look at what the white noise is on that app. And I think white noise is great
Here's our sample right here.
That's the white noise.
Yeah,
that's not bad. It sounds like rain.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? So I would just say the key with white noise is it needs to be continuous. So like those sleep sheeps that go for 45 minutes and then stop, not so good. Because then when a child goes through a sleep cycle and partial arousal, what happens is now the environment is different from what they fell asleep in. So it can be kind of stimulating. So if you're going to use white noise, it should be continuous and all night long.
So maybe you even use those, the old fashioned, those little round noisemaker, you know, things that essentially like a fan that you adjust.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, white noise can be a lot of different things. And I just would look for the low tones is what I'm.
And the low tones.
And so I would say low tones and all night long.
Okay. So as far as the apps go, would you recommend this?
Well, what's nice about the world of apps now is that you can travel with it, right?
Right.
So it used to be like you might have this big, huge fan, right? Well, you're not going to take that with you to grandma and grandpa's, right? So mm-hmm. I think the apps can be lovely from the standpoint of they're being portable. So it's not such a big thing to need them because you can take them with you. So I think there's a place for them. I just think you got to be mindful.
And then that's a free app?
This is a free app, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm not in the position yet. My one thing would be for twin parents, if it's something that's on the screen, like, I mean, how do you kind of do that between two kids? I don't know if that's really going to work. Like one, maybe put it in front of one twin. One twin could benefit from it, but maybe not the other.
Visually?
Visually,
See, and I would not.
You wouldn't even use that, so maybe
not
just turn
use
the screen
that
off.
That's too distracting.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm not up for the visual, but okay. For the white noise, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say, you know, where you just have to kind of be strategic on where you put it and
definitely
stuff like that.
And you know, and one thing I will say I like about this is you can do, you know, your own music, and I think you do like your own recording. So that might be something if you're traveling and you want to leave with your babysitter or nanny or something that's mm-hmm. very familiar.
Sure. Yeah, that's where it can be. Definitely beneficial.
So thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would. I mean, anything that's free, I'm willing to try.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and try it. And I don't know if I would put too much, you know, put all your hopes and dreams into it. But if it's free, why not? Try it.
Awesome. Well, and I like the convenience of it. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, today's topic is the top tips for getting your newborn twins to sleep. And so we are talking with Jen Varela, certified sleep coach and owner of Sugar Night Night. So there's probably a number of expecting parents that are listening right now, and they're wondering what they're getting into, what they're in for. And also there are new parents who are sleep deprived and desperately looking for a solution. So can you just take a moment and explain how it's different for twin parents or twin babies compared to singletons when it comes to sleeping challenges?
So how much time do we have?
Right. You
didn't start this on an easy question. So, you know what? One of the things that was so fascinating to me in doing, you know, research on what are the different experts saying, you know, when you've got Ferber and Weisbluth and Kim West and, you know, Tracy Hogs and all the different philosophies on sleep, right? So interesting because all of them say that there has to be some compromise. And I thought that was so interesting in the sense we can all have our strict philosophies on what sleep should look like for a singleton. But then when it really comes down to the twins, it's sort of like you've got to be open to the reality that there's going to be some compromise. And last night I was kind of looking over my notes and it just hit me that compromise an acronym. I said, come on, mom, please relax. Obstacles make opportunity for ingenious solutions. Exhale. So, you know, the reality is when you're working with twins, you are going to have to do some things that are different than you would be doing with a singleton. And so I think scheduling really becomes more of a necessity with twins than it does as much with a newborn. So we're going to be talking about newborns, 0 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. So the advice and the information I'm giving, please be mindful I'm talking about infants and newborns, young children. You really, too, have to adjust your expectations because a lot of twins are born prematurely, right? So their feeding needs are going to be need to be adjusted with an adjusted age, right? So your expectations sometimes, well, how come my child's not sleeping this long, or how come their awake times are so short, right? So you got to keep that in mind. And I've heard several twin moms say survival, right? Like, yes. Everyone's still breathing.
Yeah.
Today was successful.
Woohoo.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then help. I just think you can't underestimate the significance and importance of help. And so Dr. Polly Moore, she has a book called The 90-Minute Baby Sleep Program. And I just had to laugh because this is a quote from her book. It says, "It's okay to break the glass on the emergency box," right? So I just think it's interesting that all the sleep experts all make some exception to mm-hmm. what their hardcore line would be in all the books. And I thought that was so interesting. So if anything, just to take from that, you know, it's a little bit tricky and you need to do what you got to do.
So, survival. Yeah. Because I'm familiar with Polly Moore's book, which is great. We can put that on the website, mm-hmm. which is really kind of the science of the sleep cycles.
Yeah, right.
The 90 minutes.
And there's some strategies with that. And I can go over some
yes,
of that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then of course, when we throw in with two babies and they might not be on exactly the same cycle. So then we really got to, you know, play with that. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That is definitely a huge challenge. Mm-hmm. So help us understand those sleep patterns. So for really young babies, newborns to 3 months, right. I mean, what does that look like?
Right. And so this is what's interesting. Although we're talking about twins, right, and there's going to be a lot of emphasis on doing things together, the reality is they are still individuals. And so they may not have the same bio-sleep rhythms, right? So they are showing that there is some association with identical twins and having more of a similar sleep needs, mm-hmm. if you will, versus fraternal twins.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember that they're all unique. So what's really significant about these early months is that sleep will come in waves. And your baby will need you frequently. So they're going to fluctuate a lot in the first 6 months on what is like normal sleep. And in the beginning, newborns will sleep between 13 and 16 hours a day. And their sleep is purposeful. So, you know, you won't want a baby sleeping so deep that they don't wake, because if they have temperature, if they cold and they need you to make them warm, if they need to be fed, like it's a good thing that they're having night awakenings, right? It's purposeful. And the sleep cycles are short. So basically, infants during the night will have a stretch between 9 and 12 hours, and during the day, they will have naps that will be between 2 and 6 hours total. So they're getting about 15 to 16 hours sleep on a 24-hour cycle.
Okay.
But but it's done typically on a 90-minute, and this is some of Dr. Polly Moore's information, it's typically on a 90-minute cycle, meaning when you wake from one sleep, it'll be about 90 minutes till they fall asleep again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a significant thing, because you can kind of prep and go, okay, 90 minutes, we're going to be sleeping again. So at 2 months, they're probably still at about 4 naps a day. And it won't be until a little later that you'll start to see longer stretches.
You talked earlier about, you know, there are twins that do come early and you know, preterm. I'm sure that has a lot of to do with their sleep cycles, because we heard that earlier that preemies often do need more sleep. It's almost
yes.
like they're still in the womb.
Yes.
And then overall, I mean, are some babies more predictable than others?
So temperament plays a part in things. And then again, just sleep maturation is going to come in time. When things become predictable is a little later. Usually 3 months is when things start to form together and you can start seeing naps. And we can talk about that too if you want. But so it does become predictable, but it's not typically until after 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Where you start to see some regular.
Regular. So when, you know, we like look at all some of the different gadgets of, you know, we're tracking, you know, the pooing and peeing and eating and all this for, you know, for sleeping as well. I mean, should we expect some degree of predictability as far as the sleep cycles go in general, that within that first 3 months, or it's just kind of, no.
Yeah, so I think the 90 minutes is as much predictable as you can kind of look for,
mm-hmm.
is that 90 minutes from one sleep to the next sleep. Otherwise, the extending of sleep really doesn't happen until after 6 weeks. And that's when you can start seeing sleep stretches of maybe 4 to 6 hours.
Sleep progression, what exactly is that?
I get a lot of parents that'll say to me, they have a 4-month-old, they'll go, you know, at 3 months, we were starting to like actually get like long stretches at nighttime and things were coming together. And now all of a sudden they're waking like every hour and we don't know what to do. And like, you know, so it's like, oh my gosh, did my baby break?
Something wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so sleep regressions happen for a variety of reasons. One is developmental milestones. That's kind of the big one. So if you think about rolling over, sitting up, walking, crawling, I should say crawling, walking, growth spurts too, right? So if you look at what is the purpose of REM sleep? REM sleep is to take the information from the day and put it into long-term memory. So when a baby goes through a really big developmental milestone, they're probably going to spend more time in REM sleep, which means it's going to be more disrupted sleep. So it's very normal to have sleep regressions around developmental milestones. If you have big things happening in your family, that's a lot of information. If you're traveling, you're moving, all of a sudden you have a ton of people in your home, mom goes back to work, a new caregiver, again, that's going to be a lot of information to process, right? So, and then of course there can be, you know, medical issues too, or teething or whatnot. So a sleep regression is where you may have started to have a nice rhythm or stretch going and all of a sudden things are falling apart. And so that happens for all children to varying degrees. So some children it'll be more significant than others. And so typically, I am always recommending if you're looking at sleep training to look at doing that after 6 months, because then you're past the big developmental milestone that happens between the 4 and 5 month mark. And that one is usually a very big sleep regression.
And what's that big developmental milestone?
So I call it when they see the world. So an example would be is they might not have noticed the cat or dog in your home. And now all of a sudden they see that furry thing going across the room and they're tracking it. So they're not just focused in on their own little body, their hands, their feet. Often it'll happen when they find their toes because they come to the end of themselves and now they see the world. So it's kind of, I've had moms describe it, they've become alert or awake or they've shown up, you know, more interactive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's kind of the fourth to fifth
yes.
month. Okay.
Yes.
And so does sleep regression, I mean, I think we're saying that within that first 3 months,
right.
it's really unpredictable.
It's very fluctuating.
It's
yes.
fluctuating. So
yes.
we really won't see sleep regression
no.
until
a
little bit later on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But it's normal.
Yes.
So good to know. It's normal.
Yes.
And so, and as far as different, you know, transitions, you know, taking place. And
right. When can you expect that things will kind of get consolidated,
yes.
right?
Yeah, when does that happen?
Right. So before 6 weeks, that's what I was saying earlier, the longest stretch will be somewhere between 2 and 3 hours. And then at about 6 weeks of age, the biological sleep rhythms will start to organize. And that's where you'll see somewhere between 4 and 6 hour night sleep stretches.
Six hours. Woohoo. Yes. We're looking forward to that.
No kidding. So, and then nap organization doesn't happen until 4-6 months.
Before 6 months. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because between 4 and 6 months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then, so as far as the transition, we should really think, okay, the first 3 months, it's not predictable. And then
You can look at those 90 minutes knowing that you're going to go awake and then asleep and then awake and asleep. And it's going to be in about a 90 minute increment between waking from one nap to when you fall asleep for the next nap.
Okay.
Our next sleep.
And so really, when people ask, oh, are they sleeping through the night? You know, I mean, I don't know. I seem to get that question all the time mm-hmm. with both my twins and my singleton. And I think my twins were about 4.5 months when mm-hmm. they were sleeping that 6+ hours.
Right.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Really exciting. It was, you know, woohoo. Exciting milestone. And my singleton, as we're she's still not really sleeping 6 hours, which so I guess it happens for different babies. And
yes.
imagine, and also their nutritional needs would probably factor into that as well.
Absolutely. And that's where I think it's super important, especially in these first few months, that you are aligning with what the pediatrician and or your lactation consultant is saying. You know, in my world, priority goes first feeding and getting good feeding established, right? And attachment, and then sleep. So as much as we really want sleep to have all this structure, it's really not priority number one, which is kind of sad because we feel like as parents, it's like you're exhausted. It is priority number one.
So
food. But it's really not.
It's not priority. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's crazy to say as a sleep coach, but I'm going to say that first is making sure you've got good feeds relationship established.
Mm-hmm. Food, mm-hmm. attachment, and then sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In those first few months, for sure.
So we're going to just take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to develop a strategy for handling your baby's sleep patterns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back. Today we're talking with Jen Varela, learning some tips to help twin parents get their 0 to 3 month olds in good sleeping routine. As twin parents, we've pretty much realized that we have to plan everything. Mm-hmm. So in doing that, so what are some of the things that they need to consider in developing a sleep strategy together for their twins?
Kind of interesting as far as, you know, where can you get another set of hands, right? So you might find that there are things that you need two of, right? So like a swing can be an extra set of hands or whatnot. So I think when you're really looking at sleep strategies, it's kind of on a bigger picture, not just nighttime, right? So you want to definitely get help where you can. You know, I think a lot of us just think, oh yeah, we can do this, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I think getting help where you need help is really essential. Trying to synchronize the eating schedules, that can really help a lot, right? When one goes down, then both goes down. So that's where you want to try and watch what's happening during the day as far as their napping goes, and establish regular routines around your days and bedtime, because there is a lot to be said, honestly, about routines. And I know you've done another segment on that, but how your subconscious really aligns with those cues that it's time to go to sleep. And the little ones, they do make that connection with you do the same thing in the same fashion every time, and when it's time to go to sleep, that really helps a lot with helping them associate that with sleep. So,
and when should parents be putting together their sleep strategy? I mean, if they're doing all this research, you know, during the pregnancy, and now they know, okay, the 3 months are going to be a little crazy. So, right. So when should they be getting together, putting their heads together, and developing that strategy?
This is where it's still an individual person, right? So you can't go, oh, okay, now we've hit 6 weeks, so now it's time to sleep train. My philosophy would be you don't sleep train till after 6 months. However, just like all the experts out there have compromised by saying, yes, you do need to have some, you know, sense of a schedule or whatnot, I think doing things in the same fashion, in the same order, can really begin to start that association with sleep. So a sleep routine, if you will, like how you might sing a certain song when you're changing the diaper when it's time to go to sleep, or using a sleep cue. I've named my company Sugar Night Night because that's what I say to my kids when it's time to go to bed. Sugar Night Night. So sleep cues, you can start those. So it's an associations that go with the bedtime routine. You can start those early on, for mm-hmm. sure. But mm-hmm. as far as like any kind of sleep training, that part of it, I would say, after
and even
6 months.
just for the parents, kind mm-hmm. of putting their own strategy together, just getting on the same page mm-hmm. and saying, okay, maybe what are the roles that we're going to take in creating our mm-hmm. sleep strategy? So, and maybe that means one parent might, you know, try to put them down while the other is either pumping yeah. or trying to get some sleep.
So I think this is what's really fun is that with singleton families, sometimes the mom's kind of considered a luxury to have the dad involved in helping, but I think with twins, it's essential.
Yeah. It's a necessity.
It yeah. is, absolutely. And so Dr. Sears has a quote in his The Baby Sleep book. It says, while mothers of single babies might consider nighttime help from their husbands a luxury, for mothers of multiples, it's a necessity. So he talks about how one strategy was each parent took a child, and so that's the child they were in charge of for that night. So at least they were only up half the amount of time, right, versus mm-hmm. doubled. And then once one was starting to sleep through the night, then then you start taking shifts on that one child. So I personally think that's just one of the benefits of having twins, is that you early on learn to work as a team instead of that getting delayed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of cool, you know, that dads, we need them. And or a partner. You know?
Yes, yeah. So. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's, I think, definitely a big educational opportunity. And it's like, okay, sorry, honey, this is non-negotiable.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. And, you know, now I have to admit, I mean, in talking to, you know, your husband, your partner, I'm sure, I mean, parenting style is going to have a lot to do with that. So, you know, how does that come into play? Maybe, you know, one parent is like, you know, really lax and, hey, whatever goes. The other one's like, okay, no, we want to be very exacting. So, you know, how do you negotiate that?
Well, I have to say that probably in the first 3 months, there's probably not a lot of negotiation going on. It's really more like, you know, we got to do it together, survival mode, right? Yeah. But I do think there could be questions like, you know, separation of duties, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, one's like, well, that's your job. Well, no, that's not just my job, right? So I think, you know, those are good things to kind of talk about before the babies come, if you have that opportunity, right? To kind of talk about, well, how much do we really want the in-laws to be involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is probably with twins, you probably need to have family help, right?
Yeah.
And then how are you going to manage that? And what are your expectations? So I think those would be fabulous conversations to have prior to the children, not at 3 a.m. when you're all both tired and, you know, exhausted. So, but I think some basic ones would be definitely like, how much help do you want from family?
You know, when we look at those 3 months of craziness, mm-hmm. maybe what are some of the practical tips that you can recommend to new parents for building a sleeping routine or just kind of working into it?
Right. So I think keeping a simple feed and sleep log is really helpful because it just all of a sudden just becomes, oh my gosh, where am I at? How many ounces have they had? How much sleep have they had? So it's a way to kind of calm the anxiousness too for you to know that your little ones are getting what they need, and it will allow you to start to see when they do start stretching. So that's good to know. You know, we talked about before, you want to get them on the same schedule. So one way to do that is to wake a baby. Really scary thing to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But example being, if you know where you want the naps to be, you wake them 90 minutes before you want the next nap to begin, right? Or the next sleep piece to begin. You want to try and put them down drowsy but awake when you can. And I would say at least once a day. And I call it practicing putting them down drowsy but awake because some children will get there faster than others, okay? So that learning to self-soothe is not something you can necessarily rush. After 6 months, that's different. But if you practice putting them down aware of their surroundings, that can help so much. And then wake them at the same time in the morning, at least within 30 minutes of each other.
Mm-hmm. So they may not have an exact same mm-hmm. sleep cycle, especially right. for fraternal twins. Mm-hmm. But so you're saying you can give yourself kind of a 30-minute mm-hmm. window.
And the conflict on that, if you will, is this whole, like, well, what happens when you have one that's a really good sleeper, right? Mm-hmm. Now you start waking that one to get them on schedule with the one that's not as strong a sleeper. And now the one that was the strong sleeper is sleep deprived, right? So I think you have to be mindful and know that there could be some compromise sometimes where you let one snooze a little longer, and then that's going to produce regular sleep routines. So it's sort of a fine line there because you don't want to discourage the one that's doing well mm-hmm. and is a good sleeper by, you know, wearing them out. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is not an exact science. So.
No. Not like how you do the twins, right?
Yeah.
That's why I said, remember survival, right?
Survival,
everyone's
yeah.
breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you recommend putting twins in the same crib or bassinet, or do you think keeping them separate? I mean, is it disruptive to have them together, or does it help them sleep better? What do you think?
So there's been some interesting studies out there on that, which is kind of fun to take a look at. And I like Kim West's, how she calls it, womb to room. So, you know, they're used to being together, right? So in 2002, the clinical pediatricians researched apnea monitors on 11 sets of preterm twins and compared the readings when the twins slept together in the same bassinet and slept separately. And the twins that were sleeping together showed fewer episodes of apnea, which means that there's definitely something happening for them being together. That's a good thing, that we even helped regulate their breathing, which I thought was interesting. So the trick on putting them into the same crib, right, is, or bed, is that obviously safety, right? So if you have a rolling little ones, I think they need to be separated. Whether that benefit really is still in place after after those first few weeks, is there's a lot of debate on that, right? Because if they're really fully sleeping, then they're not aware of the other,
right,
the other
right.
one, right? But initially, I think it's a great thing.
The little body warmth. Mm-hmm. I know I put my identical girls together, and we, you know, mm-hmm. we'd swaddle them up and put them, you know, little mm-hmm. burrito babies next to each other, and they slept well. But then as time went on, and I'm going to say probably, you know, when they're about 2 months
yep,
old,
that's what they say,
and they started pulling their arms out yes. of the swaddle. Yeah. And my husband and I, sometimes we'd just wake up in the middle of the night because one of them would just be crying. And we're like, what's going on? We couldn't yep. figure it out.
They're messing with each other.
And we figured out, yeah, they just pull their arms out and just slap the other one in the head. And then yeah. the other one's crying. And the one that slapped is, yeah. you know, just fine, you know, sleep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And actually, Dr. Harvey Karp talks about that in his book, Happiest Baby Guide to Great Sleep, that they've even shown studies that it can cause breathing issues, right? So one hand lays over the mouth or nose of the other child. So I think a good rule of thumb is when they start reaching or grasping for things, you definitely need to be gradually moving them apart from each other. Mm-hmm. 2 months, 2.5 months is a really good time to go, okay, the benefits that there would be probably have been used to the full extent that they're going to be. However, I do know, you know, twin families that have done it for a really long period of time. So I think it's a very individual decision. I just think you need to do it safely, just like any co-sleeping situation needs to be done safely. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's interesting, the study on how there was fewer episodes of apnea, so that they were actually sleeping better or breathing better.
It's almost like a
better.
Form of co-sleeping then, just having another
kind of,
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's see here. So now twin parents are in survival mode, and there's at some point they're going to get really desperate. we've been there, and you know, we're thinking about putting together this sort of strategy, and you know, what about having sort of a backup plan? Are there mm-hmm. is there something, you know, that twin parents should think about and say, okay, well, here's our routine, what we want to do, and if this all else fails, then what?
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing to acknowledge and accept, because it probably will happen, right? Right? You're probably going to hit a point where, you know, when both the babies are crying at the same time, like you just feel like you're losing your mind, right? So I think, you know, you've got to first go, okay, try not to get too frazzled, right? And know that your calming, soothing voice is essential for them. And so your perspective is very important. And I know some parents too just feel like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough to give, right? Because there's always, I'm helping one and the other one's crying, and so I had a lady tell me a really wise thing. She says, love multiplies, it doesn't divide. And I thought, you know what, that's really true. When you're really loving, it does multiply, and the need that you're not being able to meet like you would maybe dream of doing for your child may get made up, because they're going to have a forever play partner, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's an important one piece is to take a look at your own expectations, mm-hmm. and take a look at where's your level of, you know, is it time to put the mask on your face like they'd show in the airplanes, right? You know, you put the mask on you first and then on the baby. So be mindful of where you're at. Are you at a breaking point? And so help. Ask for help. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I think is really significant for parents of twins is that it's not just, can you help me with the babies? But it's, can, you know, who's going to run the errands to the store and to the pharmacy and, you know, the post office and grocery store? So there's many other needs that could be delegated. And often you will have friends and family members come and say, I want to help, right? Then your answer is, yes, please.
Yes.
And here's what I need on this day at this time. And here's your task. And mm-hmm. so if you can have, you know, your iPhone, your day timer, your notepad with what your needs are, a list always going, so that when someone asks, you can actually give them a specific answer. Because honestly, for you to get to the phone to actually call them to ask them to do it and then get them and not get their message and then another message back. And then and then at that point, you're like, it's just not even worth asking for help, right?
Yeah.
So I think one thing that can be really helpful is know what your needs are. Have them ready so that when someone offers, you can give them date, time, place, and specific task. And just know that it's really okay to delegate and ask for help.
Well, thanks so much, Jen, for joining us today. And to learn more about sleeping tips, with Jen Varela, or for more information about any of our experts or panelists, visit the episode page on our website. And this conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. And after the show, Jen will talk about how twin parents can go solo and keep their sanity. So for more information about the Twin Talks Club, visit our website, twintalks.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today in our annoying comments that twin moms get, we have Christina in New York. Christina says, I have identical girls and people still say, oh, a boy and a girl. I respond with, no, they're both girls and they're wearing matching outfits. I have people follow me around the store trying to look in the car seats to see them. I also have people say, aw, I always wanted twins. No, you don't. It's more of a challenge than one baby. Plus, I have two toddlers on top of my four-month-old twins, which makes it even harder. Other questions are always, whose family do they run in? Are they in yours or your husband's? I try to tell them that fraternal twins run in families and ours are identical. And even if they did run in my husband's family, that has nothing to do with having twins at all because it would have to come from my side. They don't listen. And one more, people tell me, oh, they're identical? Did you know that's good luck? Really?
That wraps up our show for today, and we appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Join in on the discussion by posting your comments on the Twin Talks Facebook page or by calling our voicemail at 619-866-4775. And don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed Their Babies, and Parent Savers, an online support group for new parents. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.